So let's open this Monday, December 14th, 2015 meeting of the Board of Directors Ad Hoc Building Oversight Committee meeting. Mr. Clerk, are there announcements?
No announcements.
Okay. And so can we have a roll call?
Certainly. On the roll call for the Board of Directors Ad Hoc Building Oversight Committee meeting of December 14th, 2015, Director Haggerty?
Here.
Director Hudson?
Here.
Director Niss?
Here.
Director Sparing? Chair Groom? Vice Chair Marr?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Item number two is public comment on non-agenda matters. Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak? I see none. Let's close public comment. Item number three, approval of the minutes of September 23rd, 2015.
Move approval.
So it's been moved and seconded. And can we do that without objection? Thank you. Item number four, Bay Area Metro Center project status report.
Good morning, Chair Mayor. Marianne Okpalago, our manager for the program, will give us the update.
Good morning.
Morning.
Vice Chair Marr and members of the Ad Hoc Building Oversight Committee. This morning, you will receive a status report on the project at 375 Beale Street. I will begin with the construction update, including images and a short video. discuss the development of Rincon Place, as well as move coordination activities, followed by next steps, concluding with the next steps. Fire life safety commissioning is underway at 375 Beale Street. Baja expects to receive the certificate of occupancy this Wednesday, December 16th. The project date for substantial completion of construction activities has been delayed and revised to a January 15th, 2016. However, Mr. Breen will provide more detail on the construction schedule. Three milestones must be achieved in order for the agencies to be able to move into the building. A certificate of occupancy must be received. Technology implementation for shared technology services and installation of a new wider sidewalk on Beale Street. The move-in date was announced last week at Baja for MTC and ABAG. That announcement with the agencies moving into the building the weekend of March 4th. The Air District will begin move-in at the end of first quarter 2016. So the business team was at the building last Tuesday, and final interior finishes on level 6 and exterior trim at the entrance doors were being installed. Installation of the workstation and private office furniture is about 95% complete on level 6. Level 7 installation of the furniture and workstation for the offices and the workstations began late November, and level 8 and 2 will begin within the next few weeks. This rendering is of the lobby entrance on Beale Street with the multi-purpose room to your right and the boardroom to your left. So this is an architectural rendering, and this is a picture of the actual entrance into 375 Beale Street. The netting and scaffolding had been removed so that the concrete slab for the lobby could be laid. So I'd like to, at this time, show a brief slide video on Sprint to the Finish Line that was put together by Baja.
You know, when you see the finish line coming up soon, you realize you got to start
moving a little quicker. Everyone's on the clock. The sixth floor started kind of as a test floor to get all the contractors, subcontractors going. And now that they've gotten into a rhythm, they've really started moving a lot quicker on the other agency floors. We have multiple stairs that we've added to the project, as well as existing stairs. Most of the existing stairs we'll be using mainly for just emergencies. The stairs that we added, we put into the atrium that expand from the 8th floor to the 5th floor. That was one that enters in to the atrium so you can get a grand sense of the openness, as well as another stair that goes in from the 8th to the 5th floor. It's a large map of the Bay Area behind it. And then there's a lot of lighting coming from the exterior perimeter windows, lots of occupancy sensors and shades that work with the sun in different times of the year to bring in the most light and while saving as much energy as possible. There's going to be a fitness room where you can enter in on the second floor. There's going to be lockers for both men and women, and bike parking. Around 80 bike racks for people to lock their bikes up.
Progress is accelerating. The week these pictures were taken, the external hoists were in full operation. The next week, they were gone. The new elevators are working. On the sixth floor, furniture was being installed. The week of October 26th, the lobby entry floor was poured. It will be polished in 30 days.
We have multiple different types of flooring, from polished concrete in the atrium first floor to carpet throughout a lot of the office and open spaces, as well as some wood floors in the lobby area, concrete at the terrace area. The boardroom is going to have a stadium, auditorium type seating, so it's going to be different tiers so everyone can have proper view of the board members and the large display on the back. It's going to be great. It's a lot of open spaces, different neighborhoods, lots of color in the building, a fair amount of art that's going to be displayed, and I think it's going to provide a lot more open communication. Coming in 2016. That's, my money's on 2016.
At 375 Beale Street, Mark Jones reporting.
Thank you, Tom. So as you can indeed see, the sprint to the finish line has begun. This is an image of the staircasing and the wood trim on the suspension stairs. This was a photo that was taken of the level 6 and just shows the workstation. The light is not accurate because not all the lighting is on, but this is just a visual of the workstations on level 6. So this image is an architectural rendering of Rincon Place design that's being proposed. The Bay Area Headquarters Authority has entered into an easement agreement with Tishman Spires. They are the developers at 201 Folsom Street. And the developers have a planning obligation to build out a public walkway between the two buildings, our building and the condominium next door. Work will begin in January and is estimated to be completed the second quarter of 2016. This is the rendering of Rincon Place. There's an employee entrance over to the on the left side, and this is what we will Rincon Place will look like. In terms of move coordinator activities, working continues with relocation connection, the move coordinators. We have issued an RFP for the physical movers, and Baja has approved the moving company at its last meeting, Andrew Anderson Moving, Inc. So some of the building readiness activities are ongoing. Moving instructions are being developed to guide employees on packing the week of the move. There continues to be move ambassador meetings, assisting with storage, specialized furniture, and we're stressing the need to continue to clean up workstations and offices. The next steps will be to complete the IT infrastructure at 375 Bill, to complete the service level agreements on the shared services organization, and to continue to prepare staff and operations for a move the first quarter of 2016. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there questions? I think those time-lapse videos are a great document on how a fortress is gutted on the inside and turned into something really much more workable. But I'm appreciative of the tours that staff have set up for us too, so we can see it firsthand. But thank you. It's great news on the move. Director Haggerty.
Are you going to talk to us more about the schedule?
Damien, Mr. Breen will go into more
next
detail
presentation.
On
I wanted to make sure. Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So let's go to the next item.
Yes, if I can, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Broadbent.
Mr. Breen will give you so that's the overall construction update. And now we wanted to talk to you about our own specific move-in date. So I've asked Damien to give you a presentation. I want you to be nice and kind to Damien. Today's his birthday. So
I'm spending it with you all. Thank you. So this morning I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the move-in schedule for Beale Street. As you look at moving agency of this size, there's a lot of things to consider. So this morning, as we go through the presentation, we'll talk about the things that we considered when we were getting ready to move, how we planned our project around that, how we're planning our operational adjustments in order to ensure there's no disruption as we move from here to the new building, and then talk about the things that I think are probably the most important to the board is how are we measuring and monitoring progress so that we know that we're going to achieve our move-in date, and then talk about the actual move schedule itself. So in order to begin this process, we went through an extensive kind of fact-finding for the agency to consider what are the things that we need to look at when moving. Obviously, this is a very, very short list of the literally thousands of things that we looked at. But some of the things that need to be considered, number one is the impacts on our operations. How do we ensure that we are providing top-level service to the public and to the regulated community as we do this move? What are the impacts on our staff? How do we make sure that they make the adjustments so that they can give that excellent service? Then what are the impacts on the members of the public that interact with us and the industry? How do we make sure that, they're getting their permits, they're getting, the information, the board packets, the web updates? And then something that is obviously very, very important is how do we actually leave this facility and leave it in a usable fashion for our current landlord? How do we make sure that we get our equipment, our laboratory, all of the other things that we need to do our functions, how do we get it to the new building in an orderly fashion, and then how do we decommission here? Things that you don't think about, how do we remove hazardous waste, how do we remove, the furniture, all of the other fixtures that need to go out of this building to make it usable for the next owner. And then the final thing, which is, how do we actually move to Beale Street? How do we take the 250 or so employees that are going to be in the new building and our field staff and get everybody over there? So in order to kind of navigate that process, we developed a detailed project plan. The project plan runs the gamut of everything that we need to do at the building. It incorporates the setup of the IT services, the breakdown of this building, notification of vendors, moving our mailing address. And the reason that I show this to you is I want to give you the impression that we've gone through an exhaustive process. We've prepared very well for the move itself, and we've already begun to take the steps that take us to that move. You may notice that the building itself doesn't look as green as it once did. Most of the plants are gone. The name of our former executive officer has been removed from the exterior of the building. There are asset tags on everything. As you walk through the building, you'll begin to notice that there's tags on each of the paintings, on the chairs that you sit on. All of this stuff basically goes towards the major planning of the move and the disposal of both the surplus seating and equipment that we have here, and then the move of the other equipment to the new building. On top of the major planning for the project itself, there's also an extremely important component, which is our operations plan. What you see in front of you there is not the eye test. It just gives you basically the major milestones that we are putting in place so that we can ensure that our operations are not disrupted as we move from one building to the next. What this does, it basically gives our division directors and our staff some certainty as to how we'll move, what the steps we will take will be, and then how do we take the steps that we need to in this building to make sure that we have everything that we need to do our work over at the new site. So some of the things, some of the highlights in the operations plan is, you know, moving the fleet, moving our lab, setting up services in the new building ahead of time so there's no disruption to things that the public rely on, like our meteorological forecast, like our radio room where they enter complaints, setting up more and more of our services online for permitting, asbestos payment, things like that. So as we do this transition, there will be some disruption. I think everybody has to expect that, but we're going to try and minimize it and come out on the far side and come up as quickly as we can. In order to develop our operations plan, the entire management team basically got together and we did an exhaustive set of questions and then responses, figuring out equipment, personnel, all of the operating elements that we needed to position in order to get us up at the new site. So in order for all of this to work, there has to be kind of certainty as to when the new facility will be ready. So one of the things that we've been engaged with over the last year or two is actually monitoring progress at the new facility. We monitor both the construction schedule that's published monthly by McCarthy, as well as doing on-site visits to check that the work is progressing to the progress that's on that schedule. We've seen over the last period that there have been some lags in this schedule, but now at the building, we're in a situation where folks are working 7 days a week. So there's a lot of activity there, and they're on two shifts a day. So we're hoping that what appears to be about a 3 to 4 week gap in the schedule now will begin to close. We have assurances from our partners, and as you can see there, we meet with them regularly. And then in order for our executive officer and our executive team to understand where we are with the project, we meet on this about every 2 weeks. And from there, we communicate through our newsletter to our staff as to where we are. So without further ado, there it is, our move-in date, March 31st, 2016, coincides with what we believe is a four-day long weekend. We have the Thursday off. Most of the agency is on regular day off on that Friday, and then we have Saturday and Sunday. This gives us the best opportunity to minimize the disruption to our operations. But obviously, there are significant impacts should we fail to meet or falter in that date. That's why we are now, with our partners, developing a major milestone schedule to track the final progress at the project. So what would some of those impacts be? Obviously,
so hold up a second, Damien. Yeah. Director Hudson had a...
Go ahead. Just a couple quick comments, Damien, I was going to make later. But one, I've been in a lot of long-distance races. People slow up. They don't speed up at the end. And countless moves, and you think you're just about done, you're halfway. But as I'm looking at this March 31st, I'm back to the start of your presentation or the previous one, that ABAG and MTC are moving in March 4th.
Correct.
And just the suggestion I made earlier, if meeting rooms are ready, I'd strongly suggest the week before that you have budget and mobile source, and you let people get a feel for where this is. My worst nightmare is, if I read this right, is it's Wednesday's the 3rd, 4 weeks later is when you plan on moving in. It's Wednesday the 31st. And the week later, we'd probably have the first meeting. And if nobody's been here and they start looking for parking and stuff, this could be a nightmare.
Go ahead, Jack.
So, Director Hudson, this is the thought has been that, in talking to Mr. Hemminger, we purposely wanted to not have all three agencies move at the same time. So that's one thing that I think you all might be asking about. So, and then as Mr. Breen indicated, we've done a lot of thinking about when we think that we will have all the right kind of infrastructure needed for us, and particularly IT. And so we feel pretty confident that this is the weekend that will make most sense for us. And we've communicated that back with MTC and ABAG, and I think they understand. They like the idea of being in there a couple weeks beforehand. So with that as being kind of the time frame, this allows us to then have our retreat in January. We have some key meetings in February about how to spend money for our wood smoke program that we're going to have to get through, and some other things in February. We plan to have the first meeting in March here, because that's going to be a key meeting that is some refinery rules that you all didn't get to, or we're all not going to be collectively get to on Wednesday. And then we will shut down, move, and then pick it back up again in April for starting our meetings in April. So we kind of thought through to match not only the move with, but also how you all are going to be operating.
I'm only talking about the subcommittee. I have this vision of everybody trying to find 375 Beale in a car right after daylight savings time, whatever, and you're some of us oversleep. And it's you're more comfortable if you've been there once. And if you've got, 24 people now trying to find this place, okay, just something to keep in mind.
We'll look at how we incorporate that into our operations plan. Most of the folks here have already been on the tour of the building and are fairly familiar with it, but we'll see if there's something that we can add to the ops plan to make sure that we get through all of that.
Well, if you would like, we could have this committee meeting in February, if that's what would help.
Yeah, okay. Director Haggerty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was always under the impression that because of our lease and the way things were here, that we were supposed to move first.
Right. We had thought we would. In fact, they're trying to get six done. But when we looked at everything, we realized we had to come down to a specific time frame that would provide us the most certainty, Dr. Haggerty. So
the delays that have gone on. Sorry, I'm not as jovial about us moving as others, so I might ask a very difficult question. These delays that have gone on, how much does this cost the Air District?
So I'm going to have to look to Mr. McKay, yeah?
Sure. So, Director Haggerty, the way it's structured, while we're here in this building, we owe our monthly lease on this building. And
that's part of the delay factor.
And then when we move to the new building, we no longer have that payment, but we have the lease on the new building, which we can then convert to a purchase whenever we wish to in the first 10 years, but presumably essentially immediately after we've determined that we're satisfied with the building.
And so, again, how much does this cost us?
Well, in a sense...
I mean, how much is... Let's just bring this out into the sunshine here.
Right.
How much is our lease payment a month now?
$114,000, roughly.
Right.
Okay.
And which is not dissimilar to the mortgage or lease cost for the new building. So in terms of our cash flow.
But this building was paid off?
Yes, this building was paid off.
So we put us in a situation of having to pay rent. Where we were not paying rent. That 141? 14 or 41?
14. 114.
Okay. Thank you.
Right.
That's money we weren't spending before.
That's true.
So how much do we sell the building for?
$16.4 million.
And then how much have we given back the people because we've been renting?
About the run rate of about $100,000 a month.
Okay, but how many months?
What was the date that we sold the building? I think it's close to 2 years.
So, right?
Yeah.
So we've given back $250,000?
Well, no. Over $1 million a year.
Yeah, it's about over $1 million a year. So our reserves, I think, Jeff, for our building right now are around 14 point.
About 14 of that 16, you know, it's not a strict accounting, but if you wish to break it out that way, then you could say we've got 14 of that 16
look,
left.
I'm not trying to put you guys on. I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable.
Right.
I'm really not. But I guess hindsight says we sold the building too early, right? Especially in the market. I can't blame you guys for that. That's not. Right. But hindsight says we probably sold the building too early. Right. We probably could have gotten more if we would have waited. Mm-hmm. The market says that, blah, blah, blah. That's Monday morning quarterback. And so I'm not faulting you guys for that. But I was amazed to find out, and you just kind of touched on it a little bit, but I was amazed to find out when they talked about the leases with ABAG and such, because I have the ability to sit on all three of them, and they said, well, the air district is different. And I thought, wow, ours is different. That scares me. And now you just kind of alluded to it. So we're going in as a lease, and then we're going to buy it.
We structured this as a lease with an option to purchase as opposed.
How much is the purchase option?
$29 million.
Okay. And we only got 16. We spent 2, so we've got 14.
Correct. Correct.
So what is our plan? Have we developed that plan on what we're going to do?
So we put $9 million down and financed the rest, and the financing's already set up. So we're in escrow, and we have no costs related to that financing until we move in.
So why are we only putting $9 million down?
We could put down more than 9 should we choose to, and it's not exactly 9, it's 9 point something. But the reason we chose 9 was to hit a certain monthly cost target on the financing. So if we put down more than 9, then we owe, well, actually, the way it's structured, we don't have to pay for as many years. The run rate would still be the same.
Okay. And again, I'm not. It's not you guys. It's the project.
Yeah, the timing was structured with the understanding that the very latest we would move was about a year ago.
So are we going to get any damages from MTC for this? Was there any damages in the contract? Or
We have discussed that with them, and I think if we went past July, then we would be talking that way. So, because I believe it's structured such that it's the opportunity cost that the building owners of this building
after July
1st.
What happened?
We owe them essentially the opportunity cost of not having this building on the market.
Can we go back and sell it to them again? It's probably worth twice as much now. Okay, thank you.
Director Hudson?
Yeah, I think that last statement kind of sums it up. I mean, we can beat ourselves up for selling the building early, but what you really need to do is pat yourself on the back for getting the building early that's there. I don't think I'd rave about somebody's idea of what TIs cost at the in the final analysis, but it's still, you know, it's still a good purchase. The idea of putting more down, I really would, if that were to come up, I'd say no less. you're not going to get rates any better than what we've been looking. I still can't believe I got out of real estate at this time when I'm looking at 12 and 14%. You guys are talking about 1.2 if it went any lower. The real issues came down are where we should have been beating up your other partners, Scott, is that parking thing. And that drives me up the wall. But I don't want to keep us going past 11:30. I know you guys got.
No. We knew the parking issue going in.
Oh, we got to take blame for that one, I guess.
Yeah. That wasn't new.
So hold on a second, Scott. Director Niss is on the. Director Niss.
So let me add on to that, because I remember we were celebrating when you actually sold it at a great price. And at that point, none of us said, oh, hold off, you know, it could continue on. We don't have any idea whether it's going to continue on or not. And it could fall out tomorrow. So at that point, you had very strong support from all of us to go ahead with this. I have the same, as I recall, the first move-in date was December, wasn't it now? Or was it even earlier?
That's correct. The substantial date for completion was December 15th.
So for every month you go after this, you are...
Well, Brian is correct. The original move-in date was meant to be last year. Right. Yeah, over a year ago.
So it's far more about not what we got when the building was sold. It's the time that has taken for us to get into the building. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think some fault would lie. And I don't know who takes the brunt for that or not. But that's where I have seen all along... that happening. It happens if you buy a house and they can't get it completed. You're stuck renting something, and before you can get into the house that the contractor promised you 6 months before. I think if we're not in by March 31st, there will be, you know, a real uprising. So it sounds like you're ready to roll, but I agree with Dave that having a meeting there in February would be a great idea. I don't have any idea where to park. I still haven't gone through the building recently. So I hope there are some parking apps or something that will tell us just where we can go.
Well, John? Let us, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, make sure we can confirm with MTC about the building availability in February. But if that would help, that way you'll be able to understand where it is, where to park, things like that. But you're right. I think you've hit the key issue on the head. It isn't necessarily about the selling of the building. I wish, you know, if we had all seen how the real estate in San Francisco was going to react, we would have held on a little bit longer. But the fear was, frankly, it might start to bottom out, actually, when we were selling the building. So that being said, we wish we could have been in there sooner. We all had planned and anticipated being in that building a lot sooner than we are. What we have now is we'll be moving towards the end of March. That still allows us enough time to get out of here and decommission this facility and hand it over. And so we've kind of built in all those times for us. And I think what we've done is created a schedule that allows us to get in there, and we feel pretty solid about that date. And then it also coincides with how you will be able to meet as well. I'll check to see if we can get an earlier meeting of a committee there. I don't think the full board will be able to meet, though, in the building.
Director Haggerty.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm just not hearing. I was one of those, I believe, that voted to sell the building. So I wasn't making an indictment on staff. I said I was very honest up front, saying Monday morning quarterback allows us. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm sitting here trying to be Mr. God, saying, you know, I knew we should have waited. I didn't say that. What has irritated me is the amount of delays that this district has gone through because of things that have been done that have been out of our control. That's why I said I'm not indicting staff. So if anybody heard it any different, go back, listen to the tape, because I said several times I was not indicting staff.
Well, Director Haggerty, we agree with your frustration, believe me, and we've communicated that with our partners quite frequently and quite loudly. So,
well, you know, this whole process is ridiculous because, I mean, I don't get to say this over there, but here... And the reason I don't is because I don't get to sit in committee. But people that have been very good to us over in that other building, that current building we're in, the lady who was done that was doing the cafeteria, the janitors, none of these people have been invited to do even bid. And committee people have asked several times to let Kay from the cafeteria at least you know, be a part of the bid because she wanted to move over to the building. The janitors haven't been contacted. These are people that have minority contractors that have been with us for a very long time over there. And because we contracted it out with Cushman Wayfield, or whatever it's called, you know, they're bringing in all their cronies. And a lot of minority contractors are losing out on what's going on in this building, and this process is bad. Mm. Don't get me started.
I wasn't aware of that.
Thank you. I know Mr. Breen's been patiently waiting to finish up the last slide.
Well, relative to the discussion we've just had, our intent is to make sure that you're aware of the schedule that we have for move-in. Our intent is to get that formally formalized so that there are milestones and that we can check where we are relative to progress, because I think that's been one of the frustrations. We can never measure how fast we're going. So with this last steps, as we've mentioned, you know, it's money, it's concrete things that need to be done to wind down this building. All of that, you know, once the clock starts ticking, there's no going back. So we're going to be monitoring that schedule and reporting out to you on a regular basis, letting you know where we are relative to those milestones. And that's what we're going to use as the basis for, you know, putting the steps in motion in our project plan and in our operations plan to do the move. So that concludes the presentation. And I'm happy to answer any other questions you have.
So it looks like the move is pretty much the weekend after Easter. And it, you said it's a four-day weekend.
Right. We have Cesar Chavez Day Thursday.
And then
we would have off. And then we're on a compressed schedule. A lot of the staff takes that Friday off. We have some staff that take the other Friday off. But so we'll it's going to be easier for us to coordinate that way and shut this facility down, move everything, have all the movers here during that four-day, and then start
and
back
then
up again.
Between now and that time, moving the fleet and the lab are like really, really, I'm sure it's really challenging to move all that in addition to all the staff.
Yeah, the lab moves in a little sooner.
Yeah, so in our operations plan, all of the major items, which are, you know, our filing and setting up for routing and getting the mail set up, copiers, printers, all that stuff starts to move roughly between a month to 2 months before we get there. With the idea being that when folks report to work on April 4th, everything is set up there and ready to go. That doesn't mean that we'll be ready to go on April 4th. There'll be some shakeout. We'll need to do some training at the new facility around life safety, around orientation, around how all of the new systems work. Our plan is to take between about April 4th and April 11th to kind of do that shakeout and then go back into full normal service on April 4th. So we'll be functioning at around 60% of our capacity in that time frame, going to 100 by the end of that week, second week.
Mr. McKay.
Yes, thank you, Chair Marr. I did want to make one little, provide one piece of numerical information to highlight Director Hudson's point about the purchase deal that we were able to enter into because of the early timing. So to Director Hudson's point, it's true that the sale was at a different point in time in the market, but so was the purchase, and our purchase is, if you've seen that building, is $385 per square foot fully furnished. So I just wanted to provide numbers to, it would be more. Yeah, it would be more.
Substantially more, double.
And then it sounds like from staff, we're going to try to have at least an ad hoc committee meeting in February to get used to.
Right. We'll take that back. I think it's a good idea. I just have to figure out and logistically how to make that happen. And it's just a matter of, I don't know if the committee rooms will be done. That's the thing I'm trying to think about. But we'll work on it. We've got a couple of months.
Yeah, Dave.
If maybe I missed it, that's all. But you said ABAG was moving in March. They do January and March meetings. So those of us on ABAG, if I'm hearing you correctly, are going to have their meeting.
Your March there. 17th meeting, St.
Yeah.
Patrick's Day, will be there.
A lot of
us are
used to that.
And that's the idea.
Some of that. But but I can tell you, when you haven't been there and two new people and they're nervous and they don't know where it is, the worst thing in the world is to open up this building for our first meeting and have seven people here at 10 o'clock. I mean, we'd look like
The only thing, I'll just remind the committee members that are still here, we're talking about a lot of air quality specialists here.
Yes.
And so they're going to be folks that will be able to monitor the air as they get into that new building with all the paint and all the carpeting and all that. So I think it's good that other folks move in first and make sure that it gets aired out first.
Oh, yeah, let them. Sure, that's us. We're in the other meeting. The thing that I didn't want to hit too heavy, but you guys need to pat yourself on the back. At the time you purchased this building, there was Wall Street Journal, I think it was, the 7 richest real estate investments in the world. San Francisco is one of them, the only one to appreciate 10%. I mean, that's pretty heady stuff. You know, I wish that the person who was handling the tenant improvements was a little bit wiser to some of the costs that were going to come along with it. But when you can make mistakes and still be getting value on your investment, that doesn't happen a lot. I mean, usually when you make mistakes, what is it, pigs get slaughtered. But anyway, I think that, you know, in the end, as far as operation and everything, we're going to look back on this like it was just a blip. Unfortunately, every move, as Liz pointed out, is a headache. You think you've got it under control, and then wham, here they come. Next year, I do not envy whoever you put in charge of this project, because this is not the last bump in the road.
Thanks for sending in his resignation, Director. It's
Director Niss.
You know, Scott has gone, but his question kind of lingers. There are areas where I know we haven't had good control, put mildly. As far as who the vendors have been and so forth, can you talk about that a bit or not? Are we feeling as though we have very little power in this triumvirate at this point? Who knows what it'll be by June or July?
Yeah, so it's Cushman Wakefield will be the building management company. And so we will have a say when we get in there in terms of being a part of the SSO, what does that stand for?
Shared Services Organization.
Thank you. And so we'll see a part of that. We can brief the board at that point. But as far as allowing folks to come and bid on the coffee facility that's downstairs and things like that, that's really left up to the building owners, MTC. So that's out of our control at this point.
Probably a good conversation to stop. That's an awkward one, I realize. And I don't know what will happen with ABAG and so forth, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I just had a couple of real quick ones. So Ms. Akpalugo's presentation talked about that green space between the building, I think that between 201
Rincon Plaza, yeah. Correct.
And when is that going to be completed?
So the idea is that that will also be done. It shouldn't take too long to do that. They're anticipating that will be completed slightly after move-in. The critical items to get completed relative to the outside of the building are actually with the widening of the sidewalks. That's one of the limiting factors. So in this milestones document that we're developing, it has all of the critical things that you need for building occupancy. Mechanical certification, electrical certification, low voltage cabling, which is our computer connections, then HVAC, plumbing, those types of things, certificates for occupancy, all of the critical stuff. That's all we're really worried about. We want to make sure that we've got a building that's very robust and that can support our staff and operations. Rincon Plaza and the other added amenities that will come later on, they're fantastic, but they're not really 100% critical to our core.
Okay. And then the off-site parking that was reported on last meeting, could you give us a little bit of information about that?
Sure. We are currently preparing an RFP for that particular structure. At the last board meeting, you authorized us $3 million.
$2.5 million to complete the purchase of the property, and then about $500,000 or so to renovate it. We anticipate that the cost will probably be a little bit less than that, but we're going through an RFP process to basically upgrade the building to meet the parking needs that we have. So we anticipate having an RFP out for that in January. Selection of a contractor, and then it's roughly about 6 to 8 weeks to get the development complete. In the interim, we'll be leasing some parking to deal with our field operations, but we expect to have that facility online by mid-year next year, if not sooner. The one element that's actually against us in that whole process is the fantastic economic boom that's happening in San Francisco. You just basically can't get contractors. We'll see how we progress that, but the allocations and letting of that contract will actually come back through this committee.
Okay. Thank you. Just Dave?
To give San Francisco its props, it could be worse. What if they just let anybody that wanted to build something new start building, and you add 4 or 5 million square feet? I mean, this could be a real mess. The other thing that I shouldn't probably be worried about, but I don't know when the plan is to bring in the two new people. Speaking as it wasn't that far back when I came here the first time and the meeting went till 3 o'clock, I know Jennifer wanted to bring them in a meeting ahead of time. I don't know what you have planned, but
well, so you have a new representative, Director Hudson, from San Mateo County that's already been selected, and I think they'll be sworn in at the retreat in January.
Okay, good. Then they'll and they
Solano.
Still know what it's like, but I mean, they'll. I'm just saying, the first time you try and get here, when you're picking the time of how long it takes, mm-hmm. If you take BART and you walk,
right.
Gee, I remember when a mile used to be a lot shorter than this. And I swear it's getting longer every time I come up here. But it just, that's all. I don't know when it is. Just a heads up that probably for that first meeting, and you're talking about February, it'll be here. So they'll have one here and then
right.
Wake up. Here it is. See what you got on?
I'll just mention the Solano representative. They're going to select their person on the 21st of December. And so also probably being sworn in January. And the concern we have, we don't have enough room on this dais for 24, so we're trying to work out how that'll work. If not everyone shows up, then we'll be okay. But if everybody shows up, then we're going to have some difficulties.
Okay.
But we'll work it out.
Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Breen? Thank you.
No, that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. So that was a informational item. Now, committee member comments. Any comments? Item 7, time and place of next meeting at the call of the chair. I think we talked about potentially sometime in February and maybe at the site, at the new site. Next item is adjournment. Meeting adjourned, everyone. Thank you.